face of truth is open, the eyes of truth are bright, the lips of truth are ever closed, the head of truth is upright. The breast of truth stands forward, the gaze of truth is straight. Truth has neither fear nor doubt, truth has patience to wait. The words of truth are touching, the voice of truth is deep. The law of truth is simple, all that you sow you reap. The soul of truth is flaming, the heart of truth is warm. The mind of truth is clear and firm through rain or storm. Facts are but its shadows, truth stands above all sin. Great be the battle in life, truth in the end shall win. The image of truth is Christ, wisdom's message its rod. Sign of truth is the cross, soul of truth is God. Life of truth is eternal, immortal in its past. Power of truth will endure, truth shall hold to the last. And you'll get a little surprise later on when I tell you who wrote those words. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you all in what promises to be just an absolutely gorgeous day. And it's lovely, especially lovely, to welcome little Danny over there, fast asleep for the moment, as he comes with his family today to celebrate his baptism, and very much look forward to that later on in the service. The order of service has a number of intimations. I'm going to leave you really to read most of them yourselves, just to say that the summer services this year start on the 8th of July, and they're going to be a little bit different. We're going to start our day with breakfast along at the Hub and have a short service in the Hub each of the six Sunday mornings that we've having what we call breakfast church. So if anybody would like an early start in the morning so that they can then get on and enjoy the rest of the day, you'd be very welcome. I would just say that they will be very family-orientated services, so something for all ages, and you'd be very welcome to come along. The services start around 9:30, but from about 9 o'clock onwards, there'll be some breakfast to be had, so please come and enjoy that. And if you want to go to breakfast church and then come to the normal service at 10:30, absolutely fine. There's no duplication. Both will be different, both around the same theme, so lots of opportunity to explore some of the great stories that we're going to be looking at. A little note here from Jam. Jam would like to thank everyone who donated baking for their toilet twinning bake sale last weekend and everyone who bought some cakes. They've sold out, didn't you? There was not a cake to be had at the end, was there? They managed to raise £165. So with the money they already had, they'll be able to sponsor 3 toilets in countries that need them. Absolutely fantastic effort, you guys. That's wonderful. The toilet twinning project basically twins a toilet here, and you're going to use the ones in the North Hall, with a toilet somewhere else in the world, and to create a more sanitary toilet for folks that maybe don't have the nice toilets that we have here. So that's a fantastic effort, because you will make people's lives so much better. And you've been learning about that, I know that, but you will make life so much better for folk. But I'll leave it to read everything else that's there for now. We come to worship God. May we confess Jesus Christ is Lord. May we confess the love of God is great. May we confess the Spirit is alive in the world. And in our confession, shape a space in the world that is ready to explore. A faith that is alive and willingly shared in this time of worship. Let us confess, let us worship God. We stand to sing our hymn 63 in your hymn books, All People That on Earth Do Dwell.
Thank you.
come now to God in prayer. Gracious God, we gather this day to worship and to praise you. We come together to offer our thanks for all you have done and continue to do for our world. We come together to share our joys and our sorrows. And we come together to confess our sins, to reflect on what we have done and what we chose not to do. Forgive your children, Lord. Lord Jesus, love incarnate, you are with us as we lift our hearts. You are with us when our hearts are heavy. Be with us as we lay our burdens before you in a time of quiet. Hear your children, Lord. Holy Spirit, be with us as we enter this time of worship. May we proceed with lighter hearts and focused eyes. May we hear your truth and go from here encouraged to tell others. May we be all you expect of your children, Lord. And hear us as our voices and hearts join in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. This morning we are going to be exploring what is truth. That's our theme for our service. And I've got two bowls here. One says true and the other says false. And I've got some statements written down. And I want you to decide if it's true or if it's false. And we'll see how easy it is to do, will we? Right, we'll start off with one that should be fairly easy. It was Emily's birthday last Sunday. Is that true? Because we sang happy birthday to Emily last Sunday, didn't we? So we'll put that one in the true bowl, will we? Okay, that goes into the truth bowl. Right, the next one. Our queen has a castle called Balmoral. Is that true or false? What do you think? Do you think that's true, Ellie? We're thinking it's true, Creator? Do you think? Help them out. It's true, isn't it? Right, okay. So that goes in the truth bowl as well. Now, what about this next one? The River Spey flows through Aberdeen into the North Sea. Is that true, do you think?
Not really.
You're quite right, actually, because it flows all the way to the sea through Spey Bay, not through Aberdeen. So that goes in the false bowl, do you think? That going to the false bowl. All right. Okay. Now, Aberdeen was the last Scottish football team to win a European trophy. Is that true or false? Hands up for true. Hands up for false. Oh, that's true. Aberdeen was the last Scottish team, isn't it? So that goes in the truth bowl. Okay. Right, here's another one. Jesus' mum was called Elizabeth. That true or false? What was her name? Her name was Mary, so it wasn't Elizabeth, was it? So that goes into the false bowl. So far, these are fairly straightforward, aren't they? Right, what about this one? Shuna's favourite food is liver and onions. Do you think that's true, Fraser? Or do you think that might be false? How many people think that might be true? Oh, a few. How many people think that might be false? False. Liver and onions bring back memories of Saturday mornings in my mother's kitchen, where the pan of liver and onions would be bubbling away the entire morning while she did the washing in her twin tub. So, no, that's definitely false. Now, here's another one. Sue, I really need Sue to be here for this one, but we can report back what the decision is. Yorkshire is God's own country. Anybody want to agree with that? I've got one vote over here. No, your other half's not agreeing. So that's a question that's kind of hard to answer, isn't it? Because for some of us, we'll go, no, that's false. But some of us might go, well, actually, that's true. And Sue would certainly, if she'd been sat here, be saying that's true. So that can't really go in the true or the false bowl, can it? So we maybe need to put that one in the middle. Okay, so I'll put that one in the middle. Right, another one. Let's just see how well Carol's been teaching you in Sunday school. Genesis is the first book in the Bible. Is that true or false? True. Well done. You're doing a good job, Carol. Well done. So that goes in the true bowl. Right, and one more. How about this for a truth or a false? God loves each and every one of us. Do you think that's true or false? True. Of course it's true. Of course it's true. And that could go in our truth bowl. And that's the truth, really, that we're going to be exploring this morning. But what we're going to be thinking about in church is how we know what the truth is. How we know what the truth is. Okay. Well, thank you very much for playing that along. We will report back to Sue that actually we didn't come to a decision as to whether Yorkshire was God's own country or not. But in the meantime, we're going to sing a song, and we're going to sing together Yes, 193. God is love, his the care. 193.
Thank you. Let us hear the word of God, and it comes today from the first letter of John, reading in chapter 4 and reading from verse 1. And the passage is entitled The True Spirit and the False, and it can be found on page 305 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. And John writes, My dear friends, do not believe all who claim to have the Spirit, but test them to find out if the Spirit they have comes from God. For many false prophets have gone out everywhere. This is how you will be able to know whether it is God's Spirit. Anyone who acknowledges that Jesus Christ came as a human being has the Spirit who comes from God. But anyone who denies this about Jesus does not have the Spirit from God. The Spirit that he has is from the enemy of Christ. You heard that it would come, and now it is here in the world already. But you belong to God, my children, and have defeated the false prophets, because the Spirit who is in you is more powerful than the Spirit in those who belong to the world. Those false prophets speak about matters of the world, but the world listens to them because they belong to the world, but we belong to God. Whosoever knows God listens to us. Whoever does not belong to God does not listen to us. This, then, is how we can tell the difference between the truth and the spirit of error. Thanks be to God from his holy word.
Thank you. We sing again, and this time our hymn is 553, Just As I Am, hymn 553. What is truth? We live in a world where I would suggest our relationship with truth is, well, it's complicated. You turn on our televisions to watch the news, or you switch on the radio to catch the headlines, or you ask Alexa for the news, or really old school, you open your newspaper and you watch, hear, and read the news. Once a time, what you watched, heard, or read, you would have assumed to be the truth. Today, we are increasingly aware that you can't take everything you watch, hear, read as the truth. We have become so much more suspicious and less trusting in our media. The same stories get a different spin depending on the news outlet. I had to chuckle earlier this week when I opened up a news app on my iPad. All evening on Facebook and people I follow on Twitter had been lambasting the England team for their poor performance. Almost everyone agreed that it wasn't that great a game and neither team had been impressing. So what made me chuckle was that the news app I opened had as its banner headline, England storm to victory. Hardly the headline I was expecting after reading what my friends had had to say about the match. So who was right? England won the match, but did they storm to victory? The news reporter thought so. My friends obviously didn't. Two very different views on the same truth. England won their match. Or how about the image that's been used this week to represent the children on the southern border of the United States being ripped away from their parents? Children have been taken from their parents, no one is denying that. But the image of the little girl crying is not of a little girl that's been taken away from her mother, but rather a little girl on the border, but her mum is still with her. It's still a hard picture to look at, but it's not what we have all assumed it was. And the reporter has admitted as much. But that didn't stop the image being used to symbolise what is an abhorrent policy. So what is truth? And should we care about fake news? Today's reading from John's letter gives us the answer, and the answer is yes. Because that is exactly what the new followers of Jesus had been dealing with. The letter writer is telling the recipients, do not believe all who claim to have the Spirit, and that there are many false prophets. The false prophets would seem to be denying that Jesus is God's Son. So again, we have two sides to a story, each claiming that they have the truth. It is an ancient propaganda war. A fledgling Christian community is struggling to hold themselves together. They're being told one thing by one group and a different thing by another. And the writer is playing his part. The truth at the centre of the propaganda war is the divinity of Jesus. Is he the Son of God or simply another prophet? The letter insists that to have the Spirit of God is to understand that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe anything else, and the Spirit you have is not God. The inclusion of this particular letter of John in the canon of the Bible is significant. The church fathers and later church councils agreed that Jesus was the Son of God, and so this text has been included in our Bible. Church from the beginning has rejected the idea that Jesus and God are not one and the same. God was physically present in the real human being of Jesus of Nazareth. The idea of dualism, that God is good and flesh is evil, that God is only present in spirit, and that Jesus therefore could not be God, was rejected. The idea of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, accepted as the truth. You see, debate over biblical truth is nothing new. The Bible is a controversial text. Most of the great church debates and disagreements, even the bloodiness of the Reformation, all centered on what is the truth to be found in the Bible. And within the Church of Scotland, the debate continues. The Church of Scotland is what we call a broad church. Within it, you will find ministers and members who have different interpretations, different understandings about particular passages, and then this informs their view on particular issues. Take the ordination of women. 50 years ago, this year, the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland took the view that there was nothing to prevent the ordination of women to ministry of word and sacrament. The arguments for and against this decision were biblical, each side using the Bible to back up their truth. What about 1 Timothy 2, verse 12? It clearly states there that women are to be silent and are not to teach or have authority over men. Ah, argue the other side. That was an instruction for that time, as the church was getting a bad reputation and needed to conform to societal norms in order to become established. And so the debate went on. Fast forward 50 years and ta-da! You have a woman preaching to you. In some church denominations, this still would not be allowed. And indeed, in some parts of the Church of Scotland, you won't hear a woman preach. Even the Right Reverend Lorna Hood, in her moderatorial year, on a visit to the islands, was not allowed to preach in some churches. And Lorna acknowledges that in her long ministry, that was the first time she had ever experienced resistance because of her gender. And she rightly spoke out against it at the time, and she continues to promote and encourage women in ministry. Other debates in the church rumble on. The biggest debate of the last decade in the Church of Scotland has been around human sexuality. Firstly, whether or not ministers in same-sex relationships should be allowed to be ordained, and latterly, more recently, in whether or not ministers should be allowed to conduct same-sex marriages. Once again, the debate is centred on different views as to what is the truth that can be found within the Bible, one way or another. Debate over the Bible is nothing new. Even what is in and what is not in matters for debate. Different Christian churches include different texts within their Bibles. For example, did you know there was a 151st Psalm? Well, according to our Bibles, there isn't. But if you pick up a Greek Orthodox Church Bible, you will find the 151st Psalm. We can go around in circles debating and discussing what should or shouldn't be in the Bible or what the Bible is telling us and trying to answer the question I began this sermon with. What is truth? And oh, how I wish I could answer that question satisfactorily for everyone. But I'm going to suggest a few of my truths. Here we go. Jesus is my Lord and my Saviour. Jesus is the Son of God. The Holy Spirit is God's presence in our lives. The Bible is a collection of writings that still speak to us today. Jesus is my Lord and Saviour. It was through him that God came among us. Jesus lived among us, was killed, and rose to be with God in heaven. All that so we might know of God's extravagant and limitless love for us, even at our most unlovely moments. Jesus is the Son of God. I refer you to my last statement. The Holy Spirit is God's presence in our lives. Again, I refer you to my previous statement. The Bible is a collection of writings that still speaks to us today, and I offer today's reading from 1 John as my evidence. The Bible is as relevant today as it was when the words were first spoken and recorded. What we do with it and how we use it is what matters. In the last couple of weeks, we've seen it used to justify the abhorrent treatment of children, a cherry-picked verse used to justify the applying of an unjust law. The verse from Romans used by the US authorities to justify separating children from their parents does indeed say that the law of the land must be obeyed. They told the truth when they said that. But the very same chapter from Romans, just a few verses later, also says, We are to remember that the greatest commandment is to love your neighbour as you love yourself, and that if you love, you obey God. Now, I'm grateful for the years I spent at university as a student studying divinity. Perhaps the biggest lesson I was taught and taught early on was not to cherry pick verses from the Bible, or if you do, to ensure that you apply them properly and not just use them to suit your own purposes. We were taught that context was everything. The context of the verse within its chapter and book, the context of the verse within its historical and cultural setting of its writer, and the context into which I wanted to bring the text. This is how we get to truth. And it applies to how we use the Bible, but also applies to how we watch and hear and read our news today. Who wrote our news? What context do they live and work in? What is the wider context of the story? Who is their audience? In seeking to find the truth, we should always assume there is more to think about than what we are presented with. And I think that's what today's Bible reading is speaking into us for today. This living text, this not just static words on a page, but words that fly off the page and remind us that truth is hard to find, but we should seek it and speak it. The words I read at the beginning of the service, they were from a poem entitled Truth by Muhammad Ali, the boxer. And I'll finish with these words from that poem again. Facts are but its shadows. Truth stands above all sin. Great be the battle in life. Truth in the end will win. The image of truth is Christ, wisdom's message its rod. Sign of truth is the cross. Soul of truth is God. Life of truth is eternal. Immortal is its past. Power of truth will endure. Truth shall hold to the last. Amen. We continue to worship God in our offering. Let us pray. Generous God, accept these gifts of ourselves and of our money. May all that we have and all that we give be used to your glory and to the good work of your church. In Jesus' name, amen. We stand to sing our hymn 157, Sing of the Lord's Goodness, hymn 157. Children will reappear very shortly, but we'll start. Oh, here we go. Perfect timing. What's perfect timing? Oh, look like they've been busy as well. Come away in. There we go. It's a real joy for us all now to welcome Danny, who has been brought by Nicola and David for his baptism. For me, it's very exciting. It always is when we welcome a little one into the family of God. In this sacrament, we create a link with tradition. From the start of the Christian community centuries ago, people have been received into the church through baptism. Baptism is a sign that God loves each of us individually. It shows and tells us that God's love encompasses and embraces us all, and that God's grace works in and through our lives. The water we use in baptism is a seal of God's grace and reminds us of Jesus Christ, who himself was baptized, was buried and raised, so that we might know life in all its fullness. The water is sprinkled, poured out like God's Spirit on us and for us, so we are reminded and assured that we are God's children, that our future lies with God, and that the church, the family of God, is where we will be helped and equipped to serve God in the world. Danny is our special responsibility as his parents, his family and friends, and members of this congregation. Whether or not we believe in God, God believes in us. And so I hope everyone feels welcome to be part of the promises that we take this morning. So let's hear God's word in the story of Jesus' own baptism, found in Matthew's Gospel, and I'm reading from the Message translation. Jesus then appeared, arriving at the River Jordan from Galilee. He wanted John to baptize him. John objected, "I am the one who needs to be baptized, not you." But Jesus insisted, "Do it. God's work, putting things right all these centuries, is coming together right now in this baptism." So John did it. The moment Jesus came up out of the baptismal waters, the skies opened and he saw God's Spirit. It looked like a dove descending and landing on him. And along with the Spirit, a voice, "This is my Son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life." Amen. I'd like to invite David and Nicola to come forward with Danny and Jacqueline and Charlie. And if you want to come and join me up beside the font. Hey, we've woken up, haven't we? Oh, what's going on here? First of all, some questions for you, David and Nicola. In bringing your little one for baptism, do you confess your faith in God, the loving Creator, in Jesus Christ, in and through whom we are promised life, and in the Holy Spirit, our helper and guide? And do you promise, with God's help, to continue to provide a loving home for Danny and to bring him up in the faith of the gospel, and so far as you're able, in the fellowship of the church? Charlie, I've got a question for you. Do you promise to be a good example to Danny and to be a good big brother? You do. Well done. Well done. And Jacqueline, as Danny's godmother, do you promise, as far as you are able, to help and support your friends as they do their best to bring up their little one and keep the promises they've just made? And to the rest of the congregation, as witnesses and representatives of the church, do you promise to support this family as they bring up their little one and in keeping the promises that they have just made? Do. Holy Spirit, you move above the waters in the dawn of creation. Bless this water as we baptize Danny today. Jesus Christ, our Master and our friend, calling us to follow you, bless this water as we baptize Danny today into your church. God, our Maker, thank you for the gift of life, the chance to grow in love. Bless this water as we baptize Danny into your family. And this is where I get to hold little Danny. You get to come over here. Oh, little man. I know you're looking very smart in your shirt. Look at you. We will be done that night. Danny, before the world knew anything about you, before you, your mummy and daddy held you in their arms for the first time or first made you smile, God loved you. How can you know there is a God who loves you so much that love is mirrored in the eyes of your parents, and who couldn't imagine life without you now? How can you know that Charlie will be sure to play with you, teach you, argue with you, make lots of noise and nonsense with you every day? And how can you know that there are arms to hold you, minds to teach you, spirits to sing with yours? How can you know? You can't yet, but we're here to make sure that in time you come to know these things. You are loved because you come from God, who is love itself, and you belong to Jesus Christ, who calls us to freedom. Daniel Leslie Henderson, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May God's love and peace be with you now and dwell in your heart forever. Oh, I get water in your eye, did I? Sorry. Let us pray. God of love, we rejoice again to receive your grace in word and sacrament. We have heard your call and are made new by your Spirit. Guide and guard Danny all his days. Your love hold him, your truth guide him, your joy delight him. Bless David and Nicola, that Danny may grow up in a secure and happy home. Give to them wisdom and courage, laughter and peace, and the love that endures all things. God of grace, in whose church there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, help us to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to profess with our whole lives the one true faith, and to live in love and unity with all who are baptized in your name through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns and is worshipped and glorified with you, Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, forevermore. Amen. Danny, the Lord bless you and keep you. Probably change my mind after a wee while, would I? Anyway, we have a little gift for Danny. Is Ailey going to come and give it to his mummy and daddy? It's a Bible full of stories and a little certificate for him to remember this day by. Okay, thank you. Now, who would like him back? Go on to daddy. There we go. Oh, is his mustache? Now you can take your seats again. We stand to sing our closing hymn, 519 in your hymn books, 519, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. go from this place secure in the knowledge of the love of God and in the midst of all of life's uncertainties. We go to share that love with others, to bring glory to God today and always.